Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome you back to the airwaves of Radio Islam International this Jummah morning, this Friday morning. Indeed, it is the last Friday, the last Jummah in this month of Sha'ban, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Many people are very keen to have Ramadan commencing from tonight. Whatever is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be happy with it. If the moon is sighted, then alhamdulillah, it will be the commencement of the month of Ramadan. And if it is Allah's decision that the moon should not be sighted tonight and Ramadan should commence on Saturday night, then too we will be happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the dua of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the month of Rajab, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us blessings in this remaining few hours of the month of Sha'ban. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to witness and to experience the joys, the tranquility, the peace, and the auspiciousness of the month of Ramadan. Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan, wa sallim Ramadan lana, wa sallimhu lana mutaqabbala. Being a Friday morning, between this hours of 9 and 10, every Friday morning we have the Sahaba focus, the focus in the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. This is a series of programs. Our guest speaker on this program is Maulana Muhammad Aku, and in this program indeed we learn of the zeal, the enthusiasm, the encouragement that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had in order to propagate the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us listen attentively.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to one and all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us for his deen and enable us to acquire the knowledge of deen and enable us to learn about these glorious sahaba radiallahu anhum. The sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom each and every one of them have been selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected the sahaba to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to be guiding stars for mankind's hidayat. It's like when there's darkness at night, obviously, and we can't see our road, we can't see our way, and if there's a light, we manage to find our route and find our way, find our destination. That light that we find in the path of deen is the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my Sahaba are these shining stars. Every one of them is on hidayat, and every one of them, when you follow them, you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find your objective, you will find your goal. Ubaidah bin Samit radiallahu anhu, as we were discussing, just to reiterate, Amr bin As radiallahu anhu was sent by Umar radiallahu anhu on this task of going towards Egypt. Now, they are around the siege for 7 months, and they're not managing to break through. To such an extent that even Muqawqis, the emperor, the ruler of Alexandria, Egypt, he asked to speak to some of the Sahaba. So Amr bin As radiallahu anhu sent Sahaba to speak to him. And then he asked to speak to Sahaba again, other Sahaba. So Amr bin As radiallahu anhu made a group of 10 Sahaba, a jamaat of 10 Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And the Amir of this group was Ubadah bin Samit. Go and speak to Muqawqis. But mind you, just to reiterate a little further, Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu was not there from the beginning. Because this army of Umar radiallahu anhu, Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, were not managing to conquer through Egypt because there were very few in number. So they wrote a letter to Umar radiallahu anhu to send reinforcements. Umar radiallahu anhu sent 4,000 men to assist this army, the army of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And leading these 4,000, there were 4 Sahaba. Who were these 4? Al-Biqdad ibn al-Aswad. Biqdad bin Aswad was one. Ubadah bin Samit, number 2. Number 3, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Number 4, Maslama ibn Mukhallad al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu. Now, these 4 Sahaba are very, very senior people. 3 of them were Sahaba. Maslama ibn Mukhallad was a great, you know, was also one of the great, you know, Sahaba radiallahu anhum as well. Now, these 4 Sahaba, when Umar radiallahu anhum wrote the letter to them saying, I sent to you 4 men, 4,000 men, and leading these 4,000 are 4 men, each one is equivalent to 1,000 men. Inni qad abdadtuka bi arba'ati alafi rajul. Ala kulli alfi rajulin yaqumu maqam al-alfi. This one person is equivalent to 1,000 men. So it's as though I've sent you 8,000 men. Umar radiallahu anhu writes to Amr bin As radiallahu anhu. Now, when this delegation is sent to speak to Muqawqis, leading this delegation is Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu. He stands in front of Muqawqis and he's addressing Muqawqis. Imagine the Sahabi coming in, his libas full in sunnah, his demeanor, his beauty, his countenance full of nur. The Sahabi Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu, very, very big built. Sunnah, big built. He was so big, he's described in tariq, وَكَانَ طَوِيلًا جَسِيمًا جَمِيلًا فَابِلًا. He was tall, he was well built, he was very beautiful, handsome, and he was very, very generous. Sa'id bin Ufayr describes him to be 10 feet tall. Ubadah bin Samit was 10 feet tall. Yani, asharatu ashbarin, 10 hand spans. A hand span is like a foot, so 10 foot tall. He stands now in front of this Muqawqis, and Muqawqis was awestricken. He says to them, please, can you put someone else forward? I can't bear speaking to this man. He's too powerful. So they tell him that, no, he's our Amir. He's the one who has to speak. So anyway, Ubadah radiallahu anhu says to him, if you worry to me, from my fans, from just people like me, everyone outside there is even more awe-striking than me. And those who look just like me are more than 1,000 there in my army. So really, Ubadah, Muqawqis was, so to say, losing it in his pants. He was so stricken by Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala. He even tells Ubadah, okay, if you have to speak to me, please speak, but please speak softly to me, because I am awed by just seeing you. So Ubadah radiallahu anhu says to him, if you worried about me, just like me, there's 1,000 men who have more awe and more strength than me outside there. Then Muqawqis tells him, what have you all come here for? What you all want here by us? Ubadah radiallahu anhu says that we have only come for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we have come. We have come to liberate mankind. We have come to allow mankind, to show mankind the road to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that sufficient for you in this world is what removes your hunger, covers your nakedness. Because the luxuries of this world is not true luxury and not true enjoyment. The real enjoyment is the enjoyment of the akhirah. So Muqawqis says that no man, it can't. And you all won't be able to fight the Romans because the Romans are coming and they're going to defend us. Egypt was like a colony of the Roman Empire, was under the Roman Empire. We will pay you all, please go back. Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu says, you saying the Romans have so much of number, we don't mind that. Because every salah we make, we ask Allah to give us shahadat. We want to go to akhirat, we want to go to Allah Ta'ala. And we have to come here to impart Allah's deen, that's why we are coming here. Not for your wealth, not for your things. Every one of us have left his family and his children in Allah's care. And he said, Muqawqis, you want mission, you want prosperity, you want peace and happiness in this world and the next, except Islam. This was the dawat of the Sahabi. They called mankind to Allah, told mankind that the objective is akhirat, the purpose is akhirat, the goal is akhirat, to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. Anyway, Muqawqis spoke to his men, they refused the also. Then it was time for battle. But before this, they were waiting very, very long outside the fort of Babylon. The Babylon fort. They couldn't get in. And now they're making fikr how to go in. They were making tawajjuh. They turned to ibadah. They turned to amal. And Allah guided one man. He was among this group that was sent by Umar radiallahu anhu, among the four. What a powerful man he was. He made his ladder. He threw it on top of the wall. And he said to the other satis, that when you hear my takbir, you shout takbir from the outside and you push through the fort. And he single-handedly quickly climbed in one area of the fort, the lofty wall, and he plunged through, battled and tried and fought and managed to open the fortress, and the takbir from the inside struck the people on the outside, and alhamdulillah, they made it through. Who was this glorious man? I will tell you now. Just to complete Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu's life. Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu gave his life for Allah's deen. He was sent by Umar radiallahu anhu, as we discussed last week. He was sent by Umar radiallahu anhu to Sham to teach the deen of Allah. He was an elderly man, but Umar radiallahu anhu sent them to teach Allah's deen, and they knew that to impart deen was the purpose of their life. Imagine, my respected listeners, Sahaba radiallahu anhu didn't content themselves to keep deen for themselves. They could have stayed in Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, where in ibadat is multiplied so many times it fold. The peace and the happiness of being close to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being close to the holy lands, that did not content them, because they had a greater worry and purpose. And what was that? To save mankind from Jahannam, to show mankind the road of Allah. Remember, my respected listeners, had it not been for Sahaba, Islam would not have reached us. Islam would not have reached us. It was this mercy and that pain and that concern in the hearts of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. The Sahabi leaves his homeland years before he left this world. Umar radiallahu anhu sends him, and he goes. And Umar radiallahu anhu guides himself, Mu'adh bin Jabal, and this group of Sahaba, they came, and they went town to town in Sham teaching people deen. And then each of them settled in a different area, and they would teach the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Teach the Quran, teach the Hadith, teach the new Muslims Allah Ta'ala's deen. Imagine Sahaba. He gave his life teaching deen, teaching Allah Ta'ala's deen. Until he breathed his last in Baytul Maqdis. Baytul Maqdis in the year 34 Hijri, and he was 72 years old. He left this world far away from home. He started teaching deen in Hims. And when deen got uplifted there, he went to the next town, Palestine. Then he went to Ramallah. So there's two reports. Either he left this world in Ramallah or in Baytul Maqdis at that age of 72 years old. This was Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. May Allah give us tawfiq to appreciate this great sacrifice they gave on behalf of the Ummah, for the sake of the Ummah. For the sake of this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, till the day of Qiyamah, the deen must reach in its pure and pristine form. That's why I always remember, without Sahaba, deen would never have reached us. Without Sahaba, there's no deen, my respected listener. Going back to Egypt, before it was conquered, who was that powerful man who plunged into that fort, who gave his life for Allah? But now they were sieging there for too long, and they were not making it through. He sacrificed his life, and he endangered his life, and he goes through, and he manages to open the door of the fort. And alhamdulillah, the Muslims made it through, and they conquered. Who was this powerful individual, this hero? Today we're looking for heroes, my respected listener. Ya Allah, really, we're being hoodwinked, we're being beguiled in regards to heroes. These are the heroes. These are the liberators of mankind. Wherever they went, they spread mercy, rahmah, happiness, generosity, knowledge of deen, cured mankind. They cured the ailments of mankind. Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What a great Sahabi. Imagine, how close was he to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His entire name, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, ibn Khuwaylid, ibn Asad ibn Abdul Uzza ibn Qusay. So Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, ibn Khuwaylid. Who is Khuwaylid? Khuwaylid, think, was the father of Khadija radiallahu anha. So Khadija binti Khuwaylid, the blessed wife of Janabi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummul Mu'mineen Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha's father was Khuwaylid. Who is Zubayr? Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam ibn Khuwaylid. So Zubayr radiallahu anha's father Awwam, and Khadija radiallahu anha's father Khuwaylid, they were brothers. Zubayr ibn al-Awwam and Khadija radiallahu anha were brother and sister. So Awam's father was Khuwailid, and Khadija radiallahu anha's father was Khuwailid. So he was a very close relative of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Not only that, who was his, so his father's name was Awam. What was the name of the mother of Zubayr? Zubayr radiallahu anhu's mother, her name was Safiya binti Abdul Muttalib. Safiya binti Abdul Muttalib. Meaning, Abdul Muttalib had 10 sons, 5 daughters. One of his daughters, one of his sons was Abdullah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's father. His other son was Hamza. He had a son by the name of Zubayr. Many sons, 10 sons. He took that vow, Allah give him 10 sons. And daughters, Safiya radiallahu anha was one of his daughters. Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of Zubayr, was the aunt of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha gave her son Zubayr the name of her brother Zubayr, because one of the sons of Abdul Muttalib. So she named her son Zubayr after Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. What a glorious Sahabi he was. That how much love Allah has for the Sahabi. That even the Malaika, when they came down on the occasion of Badr, they came down in the dress code of Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu ta'ala. Anyway, in his tender age, he was born 15 years before the prophethood of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his mother grew him up. His father passed away long ago. In one of the battles of the past, his father passed away. So his mother was a single parent, and she was very, very hard with her son. She would put him into every dangerous situation. And she would put him through challenges, through rough and tough times. When the uncle of the child, Nawfal ibn Khuwailid, would rebuke the mother of Zubayr. Why are you so harsh with this little boy? The child shouldn't be treated like that. Really, you're not being fair with this child. She would say, Man qala abghadtuhu faqad kadhab. وَإِنَّمَا أَضْرِبُهُ لِكَيْ يَلِبْ وَيَهْزِمَ الْجَيْشَ وَيَأْتِي بِالسَّلَبْ. Why am I being like this with him? Because I want to make him strong. I want to make him firm. So she had her way and her method of upbringing her child, but she was very, very harsh with him. And she said, I'm doing this to actually strengthen him. And he became so strong, so strong. When the advent of Islam, the time of Islam came, Zubayr radiallahu anhu accepted Islam on day 2. Immediately, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu accepted Islam on day 1. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made fikr among the early people to accept Islam after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was as Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. He was 15 years old when he accepted Islam. And he went through so much of torture from the mushrikeen. His uncle Nawfal ibn Khuwailid used to torture him profusely, to such an extent that he would wrap him inside a straw mat. He's wrapped up in this mat, and he's rolled. And both sides of the straw mat would be kindled with fire. And this would blaze and blaze until it would burn him, burn his feet, burn his face. And he would go through so much of pain. And now when he's about to like die, so to say breathe his last, because the smoke is going inside his nose, inside his lungs, and he's like choking to death, his uncle would rebuke him and watch him calmly and then say, return to your faith of your forefathers. He would, with all the sacrifice, he would say, never. La akfuru abada. I'll never ascribe partners unto Allah. La akfuru abada. I'll never ascribe partners unto Allah. And then in the early stages, when Sahaba tortured, radiallahu anhu, giving life for Allah's deen in the Meccan stage, and they were not allowed to retaliate. They were not allowed to retaliate. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent his Sahaba to the just king Najashi of Abyssinia. Go to this just king. In the first group of immigrants, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, to go to Abyssinia, to live under the just that king, to be able to practice Islam freely. In this group was Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhum. And remember, he was still a very young man. He was still a very young man. And now while they were in Abyssinia, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha says, she was in Abyssinia in the initial stages. She says, we were living there peacefully, and then something happened that made us very, very sad. What happened was, there was another ruler who tried to usurp the kingdom of Najashi. And we knew Najashi was just with us because he was a Muslim. And he had concealed Islam from the Christians because of holding his position. And otherwise they would remove him from his position if they knew, and then that would be worse. So out of wisdom and out of hikmah, he concealed his Islam at that stage. And now when this imposter tried to usurp the rights of Najashi, he brought his army. And there was a battle now between Najashi and this imposter. Umm Salama radiallahu anha says, مَا أَعْلَمُ أَنَّنَا حَزِلْنَا حُزْنًا قَطُّ أَشَدَّ مِمَّا أَصَابَنَا ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. In that day of the battle, we were so depressed, we were so upset. We were worried that this man mustn't overcome Najashi. Then we'll be oppressed. Islam won't be able to last there in Abyssinia. Because he would hand us over to the mushrikeen who had come repeatedly to Najashi to ask for us to be released. To ask for us to be sent back to Mecca and to live under torture. And now we Muslims are making fikr. Who's going to go and see what's happening on the battlefield? Because the battlefield was across the Nile River, a big river that had to be crossed. A big section of the Nile River is also in Abyssinia. مَنْ رَجُلٌ يَجْتَازُ النِّيلِ وَيَأْتِينَا بِخَبَرِ الْقَوْمِ. Zubayr radiallahu anhu says, I am ready. He says, I was the youngest. Umm Salama radiallahu anhu says, he has to swim. Arabs and water don't gel so much together. So what we did was, we actually arranged for him, we took a water skin, and we filled it with oxygen. And we told him that use this as a float. And now he swam through the waves and the water and this large river. And he finally gets to the other side. And in this battle, he watches this battle. And Umm Salama radiallahu anha says, we are in dua, we are in zikr, we are in tawajjuh to Allah Ta'ala. And sometime later, we're waiting for the news. And we see someone rushing towards us in that direction of the Nile. And he is spreading his imama or his garment, his scarf at a distance and screaming out, Allah abshiru, rejoice, rejoice. Najashi has won, Najashi has won. Allah has destroyed the enemy of Najashi. Umm Salama radiallahu anha says, that was the happiest occasion for us. So something interesting was Zubayr radiallahu anha brought that info. And then not long after that, he couldn't bear being far away from Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He returned to Makkah Mukarramah. In spite of the sacrifice, he went back to Makkah Mukarramah. And he placed his youth and his strength and his bravery in the cause of Allah's deen. On one occasion, the mushrikeen spread the rumor that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seized, is about to be killed and assassinated. And everyone was in worry. One youngster, hold onto the streets, marching up and down with sword at hand, sword unsheathed, and he's penetrating the rows, looking, searching, in rage, looking here and there, where is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He finds Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the mountain, in the upper Makkah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, what happened? What's wrong, Zubayr? He says, O Nabi of Allah, I heard the news that you have been captured. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, not so. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him. What were you going to do? He said, O Nabi of Allah, I was going to search for you and give life for you. The first sword to be unsheathed was the sword of Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Sahaba ijazat to make hijrah from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara, it was the beginning of the 14th year after Nubuwa. It was in Muharram of the 14th year. Sahaba were given ijazat now to migrate to Medina Munawwara. Among the early immigrants was Zubayr radiallahu anhu. But all the Sahaba who migrated, they all migrated and made hijrah secretly. All of them. They hid and to camouflage it as much as possible, and they migrated. But there were three individuals who went by the Kaaba, who made the announcement that I am a Muslim. If you don't like my belief, and I am making hijrah now, I am going in Allah's path. You don't allow my people to worship Allah freely in these lands, I am going. If you don't like it, and if you want your wives to be widows and your children to become orphans, meet me by this valley. I'm waiting for you there. There were three individuals who openly made hijrah. Number one, Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anhu. Number two, Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib, radiyallahu anhu. And number three, Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, ibn Khuwaylid, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. It was the occasion of Badr. In the battle of Badr, we know Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, 313 Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, few camels, few spears, few horses, few swords. But there were two horsemen. There were only two horsemen. And one was Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was on his horse and he used one scarf and he tied it as an imama. He tied his imama. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the malaika of Allah. And all the malaika came down in the form of Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Inna al-malaika tanazalat ala seema Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. They came down on the dress code of Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, my respected listener. Imagine the status of this individual. That all those malaika on the occasion of Badr came down on the dress code of Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. What a sahabi. And in this battle also, the way he strove in Allah's path, and among the people who came before him to stop the Muslims. This was battlefield among the people that who came before him to... And look at Sahaba's Qurbani. His father passed away long before him when he was very, very little. And the man who helped to grow him up also was his uncle, Nawfal ibn Khuwaylid, who used to torture him when he accepted Islam. The same Nawfal ibn Khuwaylid came to kill him in Badr. And his uncle died at his hand. Why? Because Allah's deen comes first. Allah's order comes first. It was the occasion of Uhud also. Zubayr radiallahu anhu took bay'ah that will give life for Allah's deen. And Sahaba were in turmoil at that time because they were like attacked from both sides. When Khalid bin Walid, who wasn't a Sahabi at that time yet, who became a great Sahabi radiallahu anhu after that, but he found, you know, this gap from the rear of Sahaba, and then Sahaba were entangled, from both sides, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees this one man, striving very, very severely, and then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees this one mushrik attacking the Muslims and mutilating the Muslims and very, very harsh with the Muslims. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ilayhi al-Zubayr, Zubayr, you sort him out." As soon as he heard the instruction of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he pounced like an attacking lion. And he jumped onto the mountain and pounced on the same person who was attacking the Muslims very, very fiercely. And Zubayr dropped him on the ground and they rolled together on the ground until Zubayr radiallahu made it on the chest of this man and finished him off. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so happy with Zubayr radiallahu that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam fattahu bi abihi wa ummihi. Said a statement to him that was very, very special. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wouldn't just say to anybody, "May my parents be sacrificed for you." It's a very, very lofty status of or statement of love for someone that you love very, very much. That may my parents be sacrificed for you. Sahaba radiallahu anhu would say, "Surullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it for Zubayr radiallahu anhu on this occasion because of the great task that he had accomplished. So Zubayr radiallahu anhu was such a great Sahabi. He gave his life for Allah Ta'ala's deen. And his entire life to serve Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's deen. Where, imagine his great status, that even the malaika come down in his form. That alone tells us how great the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu ta'ala anhu is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the love for Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. It was in the year 36 when a man by the name of Ibn Julmuz killed Zubayr radiallahu anhum. He was busy in Ibadah making tawajjuh. It was a great challenge at that time and a fitna. And Zubayr radiallahu anhum had secluded himself and went aside. And this man Ibn Julmuz went there and saw Zubayr radiallahu anhum making Ibadah. He was one of the people causing fitna, munafiqeen, trying to disunite between Muslims. And he goes and he kills Zubayr radiallahu anhu. And he comes to tell Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu was so upset. The way he cried and cried. He said, "Bashir, قاتل ابن صفية بالنار. Inform that one who had killed the son of Safiya. Inform him that Jahannam is either boat. The one who killed Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala was so emotional on that occasion. Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala. Who was very, very close to Zubayr radiallahu anhu was Talha bin Ubaidillah. Talha bin Ubaidillah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Zubayr radiallahu anhu would say, Inna Talha tabna Ubaidillah yusammi banihi bi asma'il anbiya. Wa ana usammi baniya bi asma'il shuhada. La'allahum yustashhadun. Talha bin Ubaidillah gives his sons the names of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. My close brother and friend Talha bin Ubaidillah gives his sons the names of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. But I name my sons after the names of the Shuhada so that Allah Ta'ala accept to give their lives to Allah's deen. He gave his sons, he's a Sahabi, but he is naming his sons on Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So imagine how much love Sahaba had for each other. How much love Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had for each other. This is it, my respected listeners. Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Ma minni udwun illa waqad juriha ma'a Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That there's not a limb in my body. There's not a limb in my body except that if there's a wound on that limb. Every limb on my body has a wound that I was incurred on me in striving in the path of Allah ta'ala for the upliftment of the deen of Allah ta'ala. To take deen to mankind. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jabir radiallahu anhu narrates, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna li kulli nabiyyin hawariya, wa inna hawariya Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Every Nabi has a special helper. Every Sahabi was a helper of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a supporter of the deen of Allah ta'ala, a helper of the deen of Allah ta'ala. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inferred upon him the special title and status. That every Nabi has a Hawari. Hawari is a close disciple, a very, very close helper. وَإِنَّ حَوَارِيَ الزُّبَيْرِ بْنُ الْعَوَّامِ. My close bosom helper and disciple is Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu ta'ala. That's how Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him. And also, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one sitting, 10 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who are known as Al-Asharatul Mubashara. The Sahaba who are the Ashara Mubashara, guaranteed Jannat. Every Sahabi is guaranteed Jannat. According to Quran, every Sahabi is guaranteed Jannat. That's why when we speak disrespectfully in regards to any Sahabi, one's Iman is at stake. But there was one occasion, in one majlis, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned 10 Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Wherein he said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Talha fil Jannah, Az-Zubayr fil Jannah, Abdurrahman ibn Awf fil Jannah, Sa'd ibn Waqqas fil Jannah, Sa'id bin Zayd fil Jannah, wa Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum fil Jannah. So one of the Ashara Mubashara, were given glad tidings, of Jannah, of Paradise, guaranteed, by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu. And who was the wife of Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu ta'ala anhu? She was, the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Asma binti Abi Bakr. Asma binti Abi Bakr was the wife. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's daughter was the wife of Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu ta'ala. My respected listeners, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the love of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And enable us to instill the love of Sahaba upon our children and others as well. Every day make sure we do the halaqah of ta'aleem in our homes and we read about the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Read more and more about their glorious lives. And what we have to remember is they are our heroes. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu are our heroes. And we have to understand their beautiful lives. What great lives they lived and how selfless they were. And how they sacrificed everything for this, my respected listeners. That's why we have to protect our iman. We have to worry how we can protect our iman. One great means of losing iman is to disrespect Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Today is Surah Kahf, is the Friday. We should remember that we should recite Surah Al-Kahf. And Kahf means a huge cave. Ghar is a small cave. Tahaf is a huge cave. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi would meditate in a ghar. When Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi went for hijrah, he and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were in that ghar also. But Kahf means a huge cave. And what is the incident behind this, my respected listeners? What is Allah Ta'ala telling us? That this Surah Kahf, Allah, the first incident in Surah Kahf is the incident of these youngsters. There were 6 boys and 1 joined them. So there were 7 men who worried about their iman. And the ruler of the town of that time, the Qiyanus, he summons them. And he was forcing them to denounce Islam, to denounce the truth, to denounce the iman. And any person who refused to leave the truth was assassinated and killed. Allah put softness in the hearts of the king toward these youngsters, where he wanted to kill them because he asked them that leave the truth, leave Islam. Allah Ta'ala says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَٰهَا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطَا. Allah Ta'ala says, these youngsters worried about the iman. So Allah Ta'ala says, I fortified the iman. Allah strengthened the iman. Allah says, we fortified the iman and their hearts to such an extent that they stood up to the king and they said that we will never ascribe partners unto Allah. You should accept Allah. We can never denounce Allah Ta'ala. The king wanted to kill them there and then. But he said, I will give you one night respite. You'll be brought to me tomorrow. And if you refuse to leave Islam and leave this deen of yours that you claim, you will be assassinated. That night before morning, these youngsters made mashura and made fikr. Quran discusses, Quran, what they did. What is their fikr and their worry? How are we going to protect our iman? If we're going to stay at home, historically proven, these were prominent youngsters from prominent homes. But they gathered and they made fikr, we have to leave our homes also, but our iman not be put at stake. وَإِذْ اعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. Now they're making fikr. Today, we have to protect our iman. Let's go to this cave. We'll stay inside the cave also, but iman cannot be lost. And that night they left, 6 of them leaving. And there was one shepherd with his flock. Allah made it that he was there at the right time. He says, where are you all going? He says, we are running away with our iman. He says, I also believe in Allah. I don't want to forsake my iman. I'm coming with you all. He made a sacrifice. He left his flock. He ran behind them. To such an extent that when they get to that cave, they slept away. How Allah Ta'ala protected them, my respected listeners. Allah Ta'ala protected them. And Allah Ta'ala gave them sleep. They stayed in this cave for 309 years, Quran says. 309 years. They went into the cave, they were worried, what's going to happen to our families? And in that they slept away. And when they get up, look at Allah's Qudrat, they get, and they were young as they were. Allah Ta'ala didn't make time have an impact on them. Allah Ta'ala is the doer. Time can't have an impact on a person, except with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when they get up, Quran discusses the whole incident. So we should read Surah Kahf and we should work on our iman. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one that reads Surah Kahf, Allah will protect him from Dajjal. And ulama explained the fitnas of Dajjal. And if we study the first incident of the surah, what is meant is we have to work on our iman, and with strong iman, Allah Ta'ala will protect us against all the fitnah, inshaAllah. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah grant us the love of Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum, wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi, bi rahmatika ya akhal rahim.